Father, we come by the blood of Jesus Christ. We want your presence. We would desire to have your thoughts. We would desire to know your mind. Father, it's difficult sometimes to shift our gears, to step into an environment that is less conducive to the flowing of that word. But we, Father, we take authority.
Amen.
We take authority that is in you and by virtue of the living word. Father, we take authority over our thoughts. We take authority over our emotions. We take authority over every action and working that is working in our soul to try to distract us, detour us, detract us from that truth. We just submit ourselves to you this morning and this afternoon in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 You may sit down. Praise God. You know, it's difficult, really, to kind of shift gears and bring ourselves back to a frame of listening in the aspect of the instructional moving of the Holy Spirit in regards to the word that God would like to bring. But we're going to do our best, right? Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. If you have your Bibles, hallelujah. We are coming to the end of our sojourn in this place. Many of you probably are thinking about getting on the road, thinking about things that down the road, what you have to do. I trust that you will try to corral those thoughts and to bring him into submission to the Spirit of God.
Amen.
I trust that I will not be hampered by that thought. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to read a couple of verses here. I want to start at the beginning of Joshua, book of Joshua, at the first chapter, first verse. Joshua is a book that details new beginnings. It details the plan of God on a different level of authority and different level or position of obedience. Praise the Lord. It says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, praise God. Let me make a few comments about that. I don't think it was by happen chance that Joshua was named Joshua. And I don't think it was happen chance that he was out, he was the son of Nun. Hallelujah. Not N-U-N, but N-O-N-E, the son of Nun. Hallelujah. Because Joshua had a responsibility now. He had an accountability, and there was a mantle that was being passed unto Joshua. Hallelujah. And the mantle was not the same mantle that was given to Moses. But it wasn't as though Joshua was doing something other or new or from what it was that Moses had ministered. Joshua was now to build upon what it was that Moses had brought and delivered. Because it says that Joshua, hallelujah, and the Hebrew word for it is Yeshua, right? Am I right? You Hebrew scholars, right? Which is also the name of Jesus Christ. Hello? So Joshua is a type. Joshua is a shadow. Joshua is a forerunner. Hello? Not only is Joshua a forerunner, a type, a shadow, but Joshua is a prophetic word. Hello? It is a prophetic word to a man, hallelujah, living in normal circumstances under the power of the prince of darkness. Hello? Hallelujah. And he did not inherit an easy job. Hello? He took over what Moses described as a stiff-necked, hard-hearted, you could also say hard-headed, hello? Hallelujah. People. People who would much more rather rebel than submit or obey. And they were always ready to excuse their rebellion. Does that sound familiar? Hallelujah. Now, if it's a prophetic word, if it's a prophetic instant, and we are, by virtue, living examples of that prophetic word, hello? And I'm not talking about just this word. I'm talking about everything in the Old Testament. The Old Testament was a word that was prophesying that which would be initiated in the aspect of the advent of God intervening in man's affairs. Hello? God had intervened in man's affairs a number of times before. But this time, he was doing it by word of prophecy concerning the coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's coming was divine intervention. Just as much intervention is when God came down at the Tower of Babel and mixed the people's languages. Hello? Hallelujah. A language by which every nation is now identified, or every tribe in a nation is identified as being part of that rebellion. Hallelujah.
Amen.
No amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, if God was satisfied with your language, whatever it may be, hallelujah, he would not give you the ability to speak in tongues. And he calls it an unknown tongue. Hello? What do you mean by unknown? It means that there is no place here in the world that it can be interpreted on a natural plane, a natural level. There is no book that teaches you how to speak in tongues. Hallelujah. But, no matter where I am, in what culture I am living, happen to be at the time, I can interpret tongues by virtue of the Spirit that God gives in that position of discernment. Do you understand me? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So what I am doing, brethren, is trying to identify you and I with this position or this malady that we call humanity. Humanity, in what we see it and what we have of it, is not in accordance to what God wants or he had in his mind in the beginning, nor will it be acceptable at the end of the day. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, it is a prophetic word working to bring forth a prophetic promise. And that dispensation of Moses is indicative of that ecclesiastical system. Hello? That position of rules and regulations, thou shalt not or thou shalt. Not that those things, hallelujah, in and of themselves are life if they are administered by the Spirit. And the Spirit is not in the legislation of them or the reiteration of them. It is by the finger of God that works and writes them as living epistles upon my heart and upon your heart. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it is not because I am told that, because I am told thou shalt not covet, that I do not covet. I covet, I do not covet, because it is not my nature to covet. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we are talking about two dispensations of authority. We're talking about two dispensations of administration. And unfortunately, we are bringing the Moses dispensation, the Moses position of ministry, into the Joshua position of relationship and moving with God. Hello? Hallelujah. And it was not in the scheme of things with regards to what it was that God had intended. And when he came unto Joshua, hallelujah, and I have heard this thing used in so many different ways that are so out of context with the actuality of the scripture. When he came to Joshua and said, Moses, my servant is dead. But Moses wasn't dead. We have evidence of Moses not being dead. Hello? Do you remember the Mount of Transfiguration? Hello? What happened at the Mount of Transfiguration? Huh? What happened? Time and eternity were opened. And what happened? Who stepped out? Moses and Elijah. Hello? Now, you remember this is prior to the advent or the actuality of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. But there was a principle that Moses understood very well. And that was the principle of the blood. Hallelujah. And when there is a sacrifice or that offering of blood is made, and it is an acceptable offering, at that moment you are clean. In the Old Testament, working of that sacrifice. Hello? And Moses was the only man that had the right, other than the high priest, to be in that position and to administer that type of thing. Now, if you were Moses, you had that knowledge, and you also were going to be told when you were going to die. Hello? What would you do? What would you do? I would find me that lamb. Huh? And I would walk out the door, walk out to the hill, and I would find me a place to where God had sent me, and what would I do? I would sacrifice that lamb, because in the timing of God, he is perfect. Hello? And the Bible says in Jude that the devil contended with Moses over his body. Why? Because it says that God took the body and he put it somewhere where nobody could find it. Until Jesus came on the scene. Hello? What happened? Moses walked out with his body. He wasn't a spirit, brethren. He appeared in his body. And he would begin to discuss with Jesus Christ concerning his death, his burial, and resurrection. And I believe the scriptures say that. So, when it says that Moses, my servant, is dead, hello? Not talking about the man, it's talking about the administration of that ecclesiastical order of law. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's talking about the position of church as we have known it. Hallelujah. It says it was dead. Hallelujah. And he says, now to Joshua, now therefore rise and go over this Jordan, thou and all of this people, unto the land which I do give them, even the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you, as I said unto Moses. Praise the Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen.
God is now reestablishing that position of authority that was delegated to man in the very beginning. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, it's important for us to understand that the commission that God has given to humanity includes male and female. Hello? Because when God gave the command, he had not yet divided them. He had not yet separated them. He had not yet taken Eve out of Adam, hallelujah, and presented him, her to him. So it says that at verse 20, and God blessed them. Now, brethren, you have to understand the reality of what it means when God blesses something. It's God is not a man, right?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So he doesn't bless like a man. He doesn't bless, I say, well, God bless you, Brother Isaac, today. I mean, God do you good. God prosper you in your way and so forth and so on. That's all well and good, but that is not in the aspect of how God moves. When God blesses, there is a spiritual energy that moves out of God into what it is he is blessing, and it creates within that entity a potential and an ability to perform and to do. Hello? Hallelujah. Now, if you don't believe that, I suggest you go back to Genesis 1, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Hello? Hallelujah. Because every time God said, what happened? Something was created. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, we like to think that authority is something that is delegated to us in a particular way. All right, I am a man that has authority, and I have the ability to say to this one, go and do, and go and do. Hallelujah. My word to that man gives him the ability to go and do and do and do. Hello? Hallelujah. Not quite like that in what God does. Hello? Because you have to remember, God wanted something particular. He wanted something that would be in his image and to be in his likeness. Hello? Are you there?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
So he had to do something in that capacity. He had to do something in that arena that would give man the capability and the capacity to perform. Hello?
Yes.
Hallelujah. When God breathed into Adam, he imparted the spiritual essence, the components of what and who he is, hello, into the aspect of that thing that is called a living soul. Does God need air to breathe? Does God have lungs?
No.
Huh? No, God has no lungs. So God cannot breathe air. So it's not an air thing that he's putting or pushing into that hunk of clay. It's something that he takes out of himself now. Hallelujah. That is of himself. Has all the components. Has everything in the aspect of it. In something of a dormant state, but it has the energy to make the clay come alive. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, I don't know. I want you to think about this, the creation that you are. He just went out here in the dirt. You got this very sticky red dirt. Hallelujah. And he put it all together. He was there gathering those elements up and putting them and shaping them in a particular form of which we now know as humanity. Hello? But at the beginning, brother, it was just a hunk of dirt. It was just a hunk of clay. Adam means red earth. Hallelujah. It was just a hunk of clay, but in the aspect when God breathed, What God did, or what God loosed out of himself, went into that dirt and utilized the chemical components of that dirt to produce what we now see. Can any one of you do that?
No.
Huh?
No.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it had all of the components. Now when I say all of the components, I'm not a chemist, so please forgive me. But I know that you can take certain elements and you put them together. Right? But those elements need a catalyst, right? It needs something to stir them. It needs something to agitate them. It needs something to work with them. Isn't that right? Am I right? Or am I just blowing smoke here? Hallelujah. You have to take, it needs a catalyst. It needs something extra in it to make it what it is that it's supposed to be. A good example, very simple example, which I know, I learned it a long time ago, is water. Hello? It's two components of what? Hydrogen, one component of oxygen. What if I leave out one of the components of hydrogen? Do I have water?
No.
I'm not a chemist.
No.
Huh? Okay, I have the two components of hydrogen with no oxygen. Do I have water?
No.
Huh?
No.
So it takes all three components. It takes all the aspects and the characteristics of those three components working together. And you know what? Is there any chemist here? Is there a chemist here? Huh? You're a chemist.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. The components, are they usually in threes?
Two.
But okay, so you're saying hydrogen and oxygen. Okay, but it takes two portions of hydrogen to make one oxygen. Is that true with a lot of different things?
With different conditions of reaction.
Okay. Praise the Lord. But in the aspect, I'll use water. It is a biblical principle. Hallelujah. It takes, you have to add all three components to get the reality of what we call water. Hello? And it's interesting that it's in threes because God is in threes. Hello? He is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Hello? Are you there?
Yeah.
You are three. Your spirit, your soul, your body. You could have what would happen if you didn't have a spirit? What would happen if you didn't have a soul and you had a spirit? Hallelujah. It takes all three to make you and I visible. To make all three of us what we are as far as humanity is concerned. So there was something additional that God had to do. You know, this is something God is showing me right now. There is something that God, the additional that God had to do. He had to yet do another work. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The man was a living soul, but he was kind of an unfinished thing. He did not have the accoutrements. He did not have the composition of what was needed. Hallelujah. To do what God wanted to do. So here now he comes down and he is going to bless them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now remember what I said about blessing. This is right after he had created them. They're already living souls. Hello? Hallelujah. And now he comes and he gives them another blessing. Hello? Hallelujah. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful. Now, brethren, that's an impartation.
Amen.
That's a releasing of something. That is something that God imparts to himself, from him to that living soul. Hello? Hallelujah. And be fruitful also means that you are to, it means in some sense of the word that you are to be productive and that your productiveness is to produce something. Hello? Hallelujah. Now, brethren, please, you want to think of it down here on a natural level. But let's not think of it on a natural level. There is a natural level, there is a spiritual level, and there is a level of fullness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God is now trying to get us out of the natural into the spiritual reality. That's what the holy place is all about. Bringing the reality of that spiritual significance, that spiritual fullness of what it is that God has done concerning us. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The time is a temporal thing. And you and I were not created for time. Time was created for one thing alone. Time was created for the purpose of producing God. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when he began to work in this project. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, brethren, there's something else I'm being reminded of here that I need to teach you, that I need to share with you. And that is that everything produces after its own kind. It's important. It's important. Hallelujah. Apples cannot produce peaches. Hallelujah. Cows cannot produce horses. Hallelujah. Fish cannot produce birds. Hello? Hallelujah. And there's certain species that cannot mix, you understand, and produce something that can reproduce itself. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So everything has to produce after its own kind. Hello? Hallelujah. And there is, in all of this, when I read to you in Joshua, all of this, what I am now sharing with, pertains to you and the calling and the election that is upon your lives. The designation of the destiny that God has set for each one of you. And the fact that you are hearing this word means that you have that potential and you are as a candidate for that position. It's a really a matter of whether you want it or not, or whether you really believe it. If you don't believe it, that means you don't want it. Hallelujah. That's a hard one to swallow, isn't it? Hallelujah. And it says that God blessed them, and he said, be fruitful, be productive, have a goal that you want to accomplish. You can't be fruitful unless you have a goal. Hello? So that means you have to have vision. That means you have to have a thought for that which is out there that you do not know, but have a desire to know it. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He also said, and multiply. Hallelujah. Multiply. Brethren, there is a multiplication in God. This is in essence the ability to create. Hello? Hello? Don't bring it down here. When God said, let there be light, God created light. Did you hear me? Light, to my knowledge and to the scripture, did not exist in the form or the fashion that it came into being when God said, let there be light. Come on. Because when he saw the light, what did he say? He said it is good. If he had seen it before, if he had had it in some form or fashion, in that form or fashion, hello, hallelujah, would he have said it as though it was something that was new to him?
No.
Hallelujah.
No.
So it was in the aspect of that ability to create. When he said he blessed them, he gave them the power to create. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, brethren, I'm not talking about a flesh thing. I'm not talking about those things that animals do. I am talking about the ability that God has to create things. Hallelujah. God is a creative God. Hallelujah. You know, it amazes me how you are very creative in your situation. I have a son who is a mechanic. And he's a very good mechanic. And when he has a job and he's doing something and he needs a special tool, you know what he does? He creates it. He just goes into his shop, does a few things, welding and whatnot, and blah, blah, hammers some things together, and he creates it, and it's a tool, and it does the thing he wants it to do. Huh? Come on. I said, where did that come from? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And, you know, everything you have was created by somebody. Somebody had an idea. Somebody had an idea of your cell phone. Hello? Somebody had an idea of your computer. Where did they get that information? Just out of their brain because they had a higher IQ than anybody else? Praise the Lord. No, it is because of the ability that they have that has been given to humanity by the endowment of God. And what God endowed man with in the beginning, though it fell and became contaminated, God did not take it back. Huh? You should say amen, because that gives you and me hope. Hallelujah. You should say amen. Because the Bible says that God's gifts are given without... Oh, you know the verse too. Praise the Lord. It is given without repentance. That means he doesn't repent giving it, and he's not going to take it back. What he intends to do is to purify it so that it can come to where it was and yet move beyond that to a higher realm. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, you want to learn about the atom, that's fine. You want to learn about chemistry, that's fine. You want to learn about mechanics, that's fine. I want to go behind the scenes. I want to go into the thought of how I can produce it in God. Hello? Hallelujah. Do you hear me? You look out there and see the planets and all of the things. You know, they say, I don't know how they know, hallelujah, but they say the universes are still growing, still expanding. Hello? And they can't figure out why. Hallelujah. I can tell them, God, he can't stop creating. He's creative in his nature. He's creative in his being, in his brain. His emotions are geared to creation. His desires are geared to creation. And it says of you and I, or of man, that it has not entered into the mind of man what God has what? Huh? Has prepared for him. Oh my God, I want to imagine. Hello? I want to set my scope higher than what this world has to offer me. I want to set my scope, my goal, my position of attainment. I want it to be a limitless. Hello? No limit. Hello? That, you know, when you think of eternity, what do you think of? Something that has no limit, right? There's no beginning of God. There's no end of God. Why? Because he's eternal. Hello? I want that position of existence. Hello? And you know what? It is that God wants me to want. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. It is what God wants me to want. So he blesses them. Hallelujah. And in his blessing, he says to multiply. Hallelujah. And not only are we to multiply, but we are to replenish the earth. Oh my goodness. Replenish the earth. Just let your imagination run wild on that one. Huh? Can you imagine the orchestration of the earth, its orbit around the sun, the movement of the stars and the constellations, all working in harmony? Hello? The things that govern the environment in which we live? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you imagine what it would be to be in charge of all that? Huh? What if you were in charge of it? Huh? Would worlds collide? But when he talks about replenishing the earth, that word replenish has the connotation of making new. You know? Hallelujah. Not only does it have the of making new, but it has the connotation of resurrection. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we are giving so many examples by Jesus himself and by his apostles, and of course by many of you who have had the same experience. Hallelujah. There was a testimony that Brother Dusil shared in many different places. Hallelujah. And it was about the boy that had no tongue. He was born without a tongue. It is very much like the story of the blind man in the scriptures that Jesus healed. He was born blind. What happened? Hallelujah. Jesus came along, put some mud on his eyes of all things. Hello? Hallelujah. And what happened? The man was healed, but he was healed too good. Did you ever think about being healed too good? Huh? Hallelujah. Oh yes, he was healed too good. Hallelujah. And when he asked the man, "What do you?" Now it wasn't mud on that man. It was just him doing something else with him. He said, "What do you see?" Huh? He says, "I see men as what?" As what?
Trees.
Trees. Hello? The Bible says you are trees of righteousness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he wasn't seeing in the natural.
Amen.
How would you like to see like that? Hallelujah. Jesus saw like that. Do you know that? Jesus saw like that. He saw people in their state of what it was they were and what it was they're doing. Not only did he see them like that, he heard their thoughts. Hello?
Hi.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So he had to pray for the man again, but this time he had to bring him down. Can you imagine going through life like that with no spirit of God, no blood? He had to bring him down. Hallelujah. Brethren, I want to be in a place where I can handle it. Not in the aspect of an authority, but in the aspect of righteousness, in the attitude of redemption, in the attitude of salvation, in the attitude of helping somebody get from where they are to where they need to be. Hallelujah. If I had that ability now, I would destroy you, I would destroy me. Hello. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have to understand what it is that God is offering us. Can you bring me my stuff there? It's on them. Hallelujah. We have to get our minds up and out of the level in which we are in, and the understanding that we have has to be redeemed. Hallelujah. Because the whole aspect of it is redemption. But when it says be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, hello? It's talking about redemption. That's what it's talking about. What we have here in Genesis chapter 1 is the plan of salvation. We have the plan of salvation. Hello? Hallelujah. And it is a plan. It is a position of responsibility that God is given to you and I. Hello? He created it. He turned it over to Adam. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know I'm losing you. Oh yes, I am. Hallelujah. He said, and subdue it and have dominion over it. And then he goes in to tell us what we're supposed to have dominion over. We're supposed to have dominion over everything, including our own internal environment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, God puts us into certain situations in an external external set of circumstances to highlight our need for an internal change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He gets me into a situation where I get angry. Hello? And I know I'm not supposed to be angry. Hello? And I may get a little mad, but that's not what he wants. He wants me really mad. Hello? And he wants me to be able to, he wants me to see the position of my jeopardy. Do you understand? I don't want you to misinterpret what I'm saying. Hello? Hallelujah. Because I'm not giving you an excuse to sin. And because some people are going to go out of here thinking I said they have the right to sin. Hallelujah. I'm not telling you that. Hallelujah. You're supposed to be higher than that. You're supposed to be holy place people. You're not supposed to be dealing with outer court mentality. You're not supposed to be dealing with deceptions that come to outer court people. You have been delivered from that position. You have been delivered from that mentality. You have been delivered from, at least I hope you have, from that religious position of servitude. Hello? Hallelujah. But God wants me to recognize my need to change.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I have to recognize it. Amen. You understand? Oh, I can see your need to change really easy. Hallelujah. That's very evident. It's a little harder when it comes to myself. Hello? And sometimes it's really quite impossible unless God arranges a certain set of circumstances that really make it evident. Hello? And when it becomes that evident, I have one of two choices. I can harden my heart and resist and rebel against God, or I can break, submit, and apologize and repent.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So here he got man. Hallelujah. And he gave him an order. Subdue it. Now, isn't it strange? Hallelujah. He did not say have the dominion and then subdue it. He said subdue it. That means that it is somewhat in a position of uncontrol, or a position of confusion, or condition of disorder. Now I have a responsibility to bring order to it, to dispel the confusion, praise the Lord, and to work against the chaos that it would create. Hello? Hallelujah. And that administration, when I come to that point and I have done that, now I have dominion. Hallelujah. I think somebody read it last night. Was it you, brother? A man that has rule of his own spirit. Didn't you read that? Was it you or was it somebody else? Hallelujah. A man that has no rule over his what? Own spirit. City that has broken down walls. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God is really not talking to Adam and Eve concerning their dominion over their external environment as much as he is talking to Adam and Eve over the aspect of their internal position of environment and their position of relationship with the Father. Now that was really important for them because God would come down. God did not leave man without a teacher. Hello? Did you hear me? God did not leave man without an instructor. God came down in the cool of the evening and he walked and he talked with Adam. And I have to believe that in some of those incidents that Eve was there also. And there's something else here you need to know. Hallelujah. The relationship between Adam and Eve was really very unique. Hallelujah. Because she wasn't a separate entity from Adam. You know, you meet your Adam or you meet your Eve, and you are distinctly different. You're not connected. You're not in harmony or union with each other in that respect. And you have to remember that that was not the case with Adam and Eve. Eve was taken out of Adam. So a lot of what was in Adam was in Eve, and a lot of what was in Eve, Adam was aware of or knew about it or was a part of it. Hallelujah. It was almost like they were extensions of each other. Like you would take something and you poke yourself, you stub your toe, and the other one would feel it. Hallelujah. And they say that there is a phenomenon with identical twins. That when they have identical twins, one can get hurt and the other one cry. Hello? Hallelujah. There have been cases documented where twins have been separated, and yet they live in consistency with each other. Hello? Hallelujah. So the situation with Eve was not as it has been portrayed in some incidences. Hello? Hallelujah. So Adam, God came down to talk with humanity. And he was, what do you think God was talking to them about? Huh? Hello? You know, it's the same thing God's talking to you about. He was talking to them about being sons. He was talking to them about the position of authority, of what it means to be joint heirs with Christ. Hello? Hallelujah. He was talking those things that pertain to the Godhead, the omni aspect or essence of God's nature. When you talk about God's nature, you're talking about the omni essence of who He is, the all-powerful, the all-knowing, the all-over-everywhere-in-everything entity. Hello? Hallelujah. Amen. And when God had created them, that quality, that position was in them in an infantile type of a stage. Hello? Hallelujah. So God called them. Hallelujah. And this all goes back. Now I'm going back over into Joshua. Hallelujah. And this all has to do with the position or the place of what is now happening between Moses and Joshua. Moses has passed. The scepter or the position, the mantle of authority has now passed to Joshua. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there was a decision that Joshua had to make. And it's that decision that I want to highlight, because it is a position or a place that where you and I now stand. Hallelujah. Let us go over into the 24th chapter of Joshua. This is down at the end of the day. Hallelujah. This is down at the end of the day. Hallelujah. They had gone in and they really hadn't done what they were supposed to do, but they did something. Hallelujah. Jesus had told, God had told Joshua, I will not clean or clear out the land before you, for you, but you will have to go in and what? Huh? You have to possess it. Isn't that like saying you have to subdue? And what? Take dominion. Hello? Hallelujah. You have to subdue and take dominion. Hallelujah. And you know the story. If you don't, go back and read it, because it's the story of you and I in the church in which we age, in which we are living. Hallelujah. They had some very mighty victories. They had some positions and places of God's blessing upon them. And then there are other places they did not do so well. Some things they could not overcome. Hello? Hallelujah. I think one of those were those tribes that were in the mountains, and they had chariot wheels of iron or something like that. Hallelujah. And there was another group of people that they what? They could not overcome them, so they did what? They brought them into servitude to them. Mistake, when God said you weren't supposed to do that. Hello? Hallelujah. You know, we can make the system work for us in church. We can make the system work for us in church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We can put it as it were to tribute. You know, you do a certain job and you what? You get paid. Huh? You do a certain thing and you do what? You get paid. Hallelujah. You're being given tribute for what it is that you did. Hello? So you can make the system work for you. Hallelujah. I don't want the system working for me. I don't want to work for the system. Hello? Hallelujah. I want to find my position or my place of existence outside of that scope. Brethren, that's down here. That's I will do it while I have to do it, but as God delivers me, God help me to see the position of my deliverance and be able to step out in faith. Hello? I was a carpenter for more years than I can remember, a general contractor. I built commercial buildings. I built residential buildings. Hallelujah. I was a farmer for about 15 or 18 years. Hallelujah. And all of these things were things that provided a living for me. Hello? Hallelujah. All of these things were things that God put into my hand to do. Brethren, it wasn't something I devised of my own mind. It wasn't something that I thought that I might like to do. It was something that God brought for me to do.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know, as I begin to desire to do more for God, as I begin to move in with God in a more and greater way, God began to do something about my, God began to do something peculiar about my personal situation.
Amen.
Hello? He started bringing tribulation into it. Hallelujah. Tribulation in my jobs, in my construction job, tribulation in the arena of the farming, and all of the things. And those things were things that drove me more and more into God, higher and higher and higher into God. Hello.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. And you know, I'm so thankful for my trade. It's taught me so much about God. I can remember one time. We build with wood, you know. We don't build with stone. We build with stone, but we build with wood for houses and things like that. Hallelujah. And we will frame a wall, right? Hallelujah. And a wall, we'll frame. I don't know if you've ever seen one of them, but it looks, I'll just draw a picture of it. It looks like this. Huh? Hallelujah. It has a top plate, and it has a bottom plate. Hallelujah. You put two nails here, two nails here, two nails here. That's what you call framing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we build with wood. And when we put up a wall and we frame a house, we do what we call plumb and line. Plumb and line, right? You know what plumb and line is? We take a plumb bob. Hello? You've got this wall here. Just imagine that a wall. Well, I can't. That doesn't work, does it? Let me do it this way. All right? These are all walls, right? We take a plumb bob. We put it right here and we hang it down. And so you push the whole building until that bowl, that plumb bob is level. You know, off of that end stuff. And then we take a line. We take a line. And we stretch it here to here. and we pull it very tight, and then we bring the wall to that line. Hello? Hallelujah. So that when you're done, and when you're done, you've got a floor that's made out of wood, and you take a stud and you put it down here, you nail it to the floor, you nail it here, you nail it here. That holds the thing rigid. Hello? Hallelujah. Well, when I was, I had one of these carpenter's hats, you know, that you wear. Praise the Lord. And you know how they wear them backwards sometimes? Praise the Lord. That's so you can see where you're going. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We had framed this house. It was a big house. It had like 15 rooms in it. And all of it's wood. So you got all this wood, you know, all over the place. All of these boards coming across. And somebody called me and there was an emergency. I was running across this, dodging these things, running across. And I had the bill of my hat pulled down and I didn't see one of those boards. Hello? Hallelujah. It smacked me right between the eyes. Hello? And boy, I want to tell you, I went down like a tree. Boom. Hallelujah. But you know, we have an expression. Sometimes God has to take a 2x4 and hit you right between the eyes. Hello? And I was involved in a situation and God was trying to get my attention. And I wasn't paying attention. So God took a 2x4 and he let me have it right between the eyes. Hallelujah. And yet I was laying down on the floor, he let me know what it was all about. Huh? Hallelujah. So, you know, your profession, whatever it may be, should be telling you, teaching you the mysteries of God. Hello? Hallelujah. Should be talking to you about God. It should be giving you information about you and God and how you are working and what is the relationship between God and humanity. I so appreciate the instruction that he has given me. And farming, my God, so biblical. Hallelujah. I spend more time pulling weeds than growing plants. Hallelujah. I stood up one day and said, God, you gave me the power to rebuke these weeds. I rebuked the weeds. Do you think them weeds went away? They seem to be growing even better. Hallelujah. And one day I found out that there's a purpose for weeds. I could not believe it, Sister Norm. I could not believe it. Weeds have a purpose other than to vex my soul. Hallelujah. That's the only purpose a weed had. It's just to irritate me, agitate me, kill my plants. Huh? Hallelujah. But I found out that weeds have a purpose. They are for soil conservation. Did you know that? And there are different types of weeds that grow. Some of them grow surface, some of them go down deep, some of them are down. Some weed seeds live in the ground for over 17 years until some erosion comes to reduce the dirt that is on top of them, and then they sprout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, just think of the spiritual implication to all of that. Hello? Hallelujah. And God told the Israelites, I'm not going to just clean them out. You're going to have to go in. I will go in with you or before you, maybe he said. I will help you, but you have to subdue it. Hello? It's a spiritual principle. If you're just sitting there rebuking something, rebuking, 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 you can rebuke till your lips fall off your face. You can rebuke till that's what my grandchildren, rebuke, rebuke, rebuke. They see a devil, rebuke, 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 you. And you can rebuke till you're blue in the face. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is a development of relationship. There is a development of character. There is a development of integrity that hell has to see. Hello? Hallelujah. Hell has to see it. Hallelujah. Hell has to see it. They have to experience it in order to obey it. Oh, yes, oh, yes. Those seven sons of Sheba, right? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, yeah, we can do that. You can do that. And you know what? They did something. They got the devil mad. Hallelujah. That means they were on a spiritual plane. They were moving in a spiritual arena, but the devil did not know them. Hello. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It says, Paul I know. Jesus I know for sure. But I don't think I have your name on my list. Hallelujah. I don't want my name on the list. I want it at the top of the list. Hello? Hallelujah. And I'm not going to do it by overcoming you. I'm not going to do it by overcoming my wife. She's not going to do it by overcoming me. I'm not going to be doing it by overcoming my parents. And children, listen. You're not going to do it by overcoming your parents. Hello? You overcome your inherited natures. You bring the reality of Christ into your soul, your mind, your emotions, your desires. All of those things have to come under the scrutiny of the Holy Spirit. And you know, brethren, come on. You know, when I was a young man and I was growing up and I was living like hell, hello? When God got a hold of me, nobody had to tell me what I needed to repent of. I did it every day. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the reason I was doing it was why I was feeling so bad. Hello? Nobody had to tell me, oh, you have to repent of this, repent of this, repent of this, repent of this. Nobody had to tell me that. Hello? I knew intuitively, God, I'm a sinner. Hallelujah. And I'm a drunkard, and I'm an addicted addict, and I'm this, 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 and I'm this. Deliver me! Hallelujah. Because there's one thing that God requires is honesty. And that honesty is about myself. You know? That honesty is a position or a place of relationship. You know, brother was giving you the mechanics of overcoming you. I'm getting down to the nitty-gritty. I'm getting into the daily aspects of what it is that we have to do. Hello? It's one thing to have a car. It's another thing to know how to drive it. My God, I got in there with a car when I did. I knocked down everything when I was learning to drive. Huh? I knocked down signposts. I knocked down stop signs. I knocked down fences. I knocked down everything. Hello? Hallelujah. I had to be taught how to drive that car. Hello?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I had to be taught how to handle it. And that wasn't enough. There are emergencies that they can't teach you how to handle. That comes from experience.
Amen.
That comes from knowing the vehicle and how to utilize it and how to work with it. Hello? You know, our gospel cannot just be spiritual, highfalutin, intellectual knowledge. It has to be practical. I mean, I walk out of here, I have to know how to handle the spirit of anger. I have to know how to handle the spirit of depression. I have to know how to fight against the lust of my own soul. Hallelujah. I have to know how to bring my eyes under subjection. Hello? Hallelujah. You know, some of you ladies, you make it very hard on the men. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, no. And you know, you make it very hard on the men. You know, I have some very young men in my family growing up, and I know you make it very hard, very hard. You as a Christian woman, you as a Christian young lady, should not want to make it hard. You should want to make it easy. Hello?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And quite frankly, men can be just as vulgar or something. Oh, that was the wrong word, right? Hallelujah. Men can be just as vulgar with their bodies. The designer fashion today is to expose your bodies, male and female. The designers who are designing clothes, they are demonic in their thinking. They are demonic in the control. I don't care where you are, what you do, how you live, or whatever you do. The designers are out of the pit of hell. Not, oh, maybe some designers are nice designers. Praise God. But I'm talking about fashion that rules the world.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We should not use our bodies to tempt other people. I can remember a story that we lived through in a situation in another country. There was a young man, hallelujah, this culture of people, they wore short shorts, men, right? The short shorts, and the tank tops. You know what the tank tops are? Hallelujah. And that's what they would come to meeting in. Oh, you say that's bad, but come on. Hello? And there was one young man in particular who really didn't see anything wrong with it until God gave him a practical lesson. In a meeting, after a meeting, there was another young man that came up to this young man. And he said to this young man, he says, you know, I have just been delivered from a homosexual spirit. And he looked at the other man and he says, and you are tempting me. What would your responsibility do? Run and change your clothes. You know that brother has never put on that kind of dress again in his life? Huh? He changed that instantaneously. Hello? Hello? I have a responsibility. I have a responsibility. Hallelujah. I have a responsibility. Praise the Lord. There's certain types of pants I don't like to wear because they are designed in a certain way to accentuate certain parts of my body. I don't like it. Hello? Hallelujah. I don't like it. Hello? Hallelujah. We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility. I so appreciate my wife and her modesty and her position of openness and honesty. She will come to me and ask me my opinion. Hello? About what she is wearing as to whether it's modest enough. Hello? Hallelujah. And if I say something, just a little bitty something, I will never see it again. Hello? I will never, and I, you know, hallelujah. And this thing of dress, brethren, is a major deal. You talk about the window of your soul. Hello? You talk about the eye gate. We're talking about the eye gate. And it doesn't make any difference if you're a woman or a man. Hello? And the spirit of the age is that men want to go after men and women want to go after women. Hello? Hallelujah. And in the aspect of all of that, the man, in the aspect of that situation, the man who is supposed to be the woman begins to look like the woman. And the man, the woman that's supposed to be a man begins to look like a man. It's a spirit. It's a spirit. It's a spirit. Hallelujah. And we should be of a higher realm of practical visual religion. We should be in a place of exercising our spiritual authority over our bodies. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All of these things are things that you are going to encounter. All of these things are things that God is addressing. You know, you cannot enter this place called the holy place. You cannot enter this place called the holy place unless you go through the door. Hallelujah. Unless you go through the door. There is a veil and there's five posts. Five is the number of ministry. Hallelujah. And it's not unimportant that it is called the door. Hello? There's only one other place in the Bible that it uses the terminology doors for an entrance. That is in the aspect of Jesus Christ. It says, I am the door. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ was the epitome of all of the fivefold of ministry. He was the totality of it all. Hello? Are you there? Hallelujah. Don't take my word for it. Go out there and go. When you go out there, go and pray about it. Ask God to speak to you personally, individually, and see what He won't say to you. See what He won't ask you to do. What demand He might even put on you. Hallelujah. But you better go with the intention of hearing and hearing correctly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are in a position of choice. I'm in a position of choice. I am making the decision. Am I going to be a son of God, or am I going to be a son of perdition? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you hear me? I'm going to be a son of God, or I'm going to be a son of perdition. I'm making a choice. Turn with me over into Joshua. This is at the end of the day. Hallelujah. As far as Joshua is concerned. And all of the experience of Joshua pertains to the Holy Place Church and its position of faith and victory and its position of relationship with God. Hallelujah. But there was yet a position or a place of indecision concerning Israel and their occupation of that land. Hello? Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. I hope so. Hallelujah. Joshua 24. Verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord. You know, that's another thing you could talk about for a while. Fearing of God. I don't think we fear God. I really don't. Not the way that God needs to be feared. In His awesome reverenceness. Reverenceness. Is that a word? Hallelujah. I don't think that we fear God. And I ask God, God, bring me the fear of You. That's one of my prayers, by the way. Hallelujah. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in what?
Sincerity.
Now sincerity means in truthfulness. Hallelujah. It includes the aspect of being truthful about us, about them, about Him. Hello? Hallelujah. Serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the other gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Hallelujah. This is an admonition, not to the time of Joshua. This is an admonition to the Holy Place Church. This is an admonition to you when you go out of this building today. Hallelujah. This is the commission. This is the direction. This is the obligation that God is putting on you as a people. Hallelujah. 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 And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, that is a strange choice of words to put together concerning God. Hallelujah. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye now dwell. Whose land are you dwelling in? Whose land are you dwelling in? You're dwelling in the land of your fathers, right? You're dwelling in a locality that is labeled on the map. What is it called? You're afraid to say the name? Oh my goodness, you don't even want to say it. Hallelujah. He says, whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the god of the Ammonites, or the in whose land ye dwell. But as for me, Yeshua, Joshua, and my house, hello, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Brethren, we are standing in a critical time, in a critical place. We are in a valley of decision. I noticed the crowd has started to thin out. Hallelujah. We are in a valley of decision. Hallelujah. God is giving us the accoutrements. God is giving us the abilities. He's giving us the knowledge. Hallelujah. I'm wondering where it will be. We will end up at the end of the day. I want to be on the inside of the door, not on the outside. I trust that you will be on the inside and not on the outside. God bless you.